the intro.
Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. We now make the move from frustration to frustration tolerance. This is the introduction to frustration tolerance as a trainable skill. Now, good old Aesop has some fun fables describing frustrating stimuli and responses to it, as well as how outcomes vary by virtue of the response. There are some Eastern equivalents of this, but I'm ignorant of them. So if you know any, please share, okay? This is Dr. Cashy's dramatic reenactment of the boy and the filberts. The filberts. Filberts are hazelnuts, by the way, a rich and delicious treat, okay? So, a small boy was walking down the market street, when a delicious smell caught his eye. The boy wandered over. He was wandering towards a delicious smell, and he noticed, there was a merchant's stall, and he saw the merchant was roasting nuts, fresh hot filberts. His eyes darted across the counter, and he noticed the jar, a jar in conspicuous view. It had filberts in it. Sample filberts, yes! So he toddled over to the other side of the counter, telling himself, I want filberts, I want filberts, I want filberts. But the jar was just out of reach. It's a little dude. Okay, it was just out of reach. He outstretched his arms, fingers clamoring, on his tippy toes. And he finally got a hold of the jar. The filberts, he got them, okay? Now, he immediately stuck his hand inside of the jar. Oh, happy days, delicious filberts! He grasped as many filberts as he could possibly manage in his little hands, okay? But when he tried to pull his hand out, it was stuck! His hand was stuck in the jar, forsooth. His hand now full of treats was obstructed by the narrower neck of the jar. Balls! How frustrating! Now a wise old man was walking by, and he saw the boy struggling. He saw the boy struggling with the jar and struggling to contain his annoyance. At first, the boy just wanted the filberts. But now he thought to himself, I need the filberts. I must have them, or else. Or else what? The old wise man asked. The boy stood in shock. The only noises he made were grunts on account of his struggle. The other conversation was going on in his head. Was the old wise man reading his mind? His thinking, yes, his definite thinking this time was interrupted again. The old wise man raised an eyebrow and imperceptibly tilted his head and said, or else what? Giving up on trying to determine if this old coot was a wizard, he finally blurted out, or else it'll be horrible. I'll be miserable. And my day will be a total disaster. So what is the boy to do? His frustration tolerance rapidly dissipates, as he struggles and strains with his bulging fist in the jar. He makes the only obvious decision when the frustration is finally exceeding his tolerance. I can't stand it anymore! I can't stand it, he shouts out to the frustration gods. He bursts into angry tears and bitterly laments how his life, how could it have turned out so terrible, so miserable, so tragic for a little boy like him? How could the frustration gods know? How could the universe pick on him so? Does this mean he deserves his fate? Is he a bad person because it turned out this way? These were the thoughts going through the little boy's head. The old wise man interrupted his thoughts again, reading his mind, and said, "You're a fine person. Come here." The old wise man gave him a smirk. The old wise man gave him a smirk and gestured to the boy, and the boy shambled over in defeat, handing the jar to the old wise man. The old wise man took the boy's hand and tilted the jar just enough for a few filberts to fall out. Aesop's tale of frustration, The Boy and the Filberts, became an instant classic for me, obviously. It's been retuned to really exemplify how frustrations and frustration tolerance interact with each other, and how our belief systems, the BS we tell ourselves, when it conflicts with reality, it often grows in its influence it has over us, rather than shrinks. Kind of strange, right? Sense, however, sense contains some inherent flexibility. The boy stuck his hand in a jar. He filled his hand up with filberts, got his hand stuck. Got his hand stuck in the jar. But was his hand really stuck? No! No! The boy's brain was intact, but he lost his mind! It was the boy's beliefs that were stuck. His beliefs were rigid, and they were absolute. I need the filberts. I must have them, or else. Since he had a dire need for the filberts, and a necessity is obviously something that's conditional for life, then anything other than getting all the filberts is essentially a disaster. It is automatically rated as more than bad. It's terrible. Horrible. So, to prevent said catastrophe, the boy starts leaning into his dire need of the filberts more and more. As the boy's frustration tolerance starts declining rapidly, the clock starts ticking down, down, down. The same thing happens with us. When we start overwhelming ourselves or deny the objective reality in favor of our distorted and rigid view of reality, our tolerance practically always runs out. Practically always. Why? Well, if what a person believes, if the BS they tell themselves is in conflict with reality, then just about every situation will eat away at their tolerance until they do something impulsive and dumb. That stupid game wins them a stupid prize. That stupid prize is the reinforcement of the dire need that conflicts with reality. The harder the boy tried to get the filberts out of the jar, the more he needed the filberts, absolutely needed them, or else. The more he needed the filberts, the more he struggled, and so on. On the one hand, it's apparent that building frustration tolerance allows people to endure frustration. Yes, this is true. However, building up frustration tolerance for its own sake will just allow a person to endure frustration for the sake of enduring frustration longer. Ultimately, that's silly. Ultimately, okay? The whole point of growing your frustration tolerance, which is a trainable skill, is that you can buy yourself time while you're frustrated. You increase the space between stimulus and response so that you can think rationally and act deliberately to increase your chances for a constructive outcome. Stringing along constructive outcomes is one of the main paths to appraising frustrations properly, knowing how major or minor they are so you can be appropriately sensitive to it and build the correct amount of urgency, while also building your frustration tolerance to increase the space between stimulus and response. Combined, this 1-2 punch helps you do less dumb stuff and more smart stuff, and doing more smart stuff is more better. So ha! Okay? Had the boy a little more frustration tolerance, he could have called himself out on his BS, his belief system, his all-or-nothing, rigid, black-and-white belief system surrounding the filberts that he desperately needed, he must have, or else. He could have taken that old, rigid, crotchety BS and threw it out the window for something young and supple and flexible BS. Okay. Like, I really want these filberts, but I know the world still turns. I really want them, but I know I can still live a happy life if I move on, right? If he needs the filberts, does he have an option? No! It's all or nothing, black and white. He's either winning trophies or he's trash. And these false dichotomies are the bedrock of perfectionistic foolishness. He will only accept his ideal outcome and the rest are veritable garbage. And if the outcome is garbage, well, then he must be garbage. And this only reinforces the dire need for his perfect result. Does that sound familiar? Do you know anybody that's like that? It's clear the boy encountered a frustrating stimulus, okay? Those dire needs that he was basing his thinking on were giving rise to feelings of hassle, annoyance, irritation. And these feelings rapidly grew his level of urgency. This urgency looped back to his thinking, okay? Looped back to his thinking where he got into double trouble. This freakish level of urgency where he needed to get the filberts he must have stimulated his operational and his emotional frustrations even more. And this exaggerated his thoughts and judgments about the situation, which soon upgraded his feelings of annoyance into anger and eventually into bitterness and self-deprecation, which then creates all sorts of strange urges on its own. Okay, does that ring any bells? Frustrating stimuli are good. Feelings are good. Feelings about frustration are create the urgency to act so that you can shrink, avoid, or resolve the frustrating stimulus. In other words, it is directed motivation. The thinking is what tunes the urgency and the response into something that's less dumber and more smarter. If you let it. If your thinking is rational and your BS is flexible, you will act more smartly. If your thinking is distorted and your BS, your belief systems are rigid, then you will act more dumbly. Frustration tolerance is the key to making this happen on purpose and with purpose. Okay. Since we've mentioned it a few times and you have some context clues to give you a better idea of what it's about, it's high time we take this and operationalize it a little bit more. And this will put you in a better position to train it. Frustration, now you know, is a discrete event, an isolated event blocking you from what you want. Make that correction. It's an isolated event blocking you from what you want. Now, frustration tolerance is the capacity to think rationally when you're frustrated. This is why frustration tolerance buys you the time when you are stimulated. If you think rationally, then you can act deliberately. Thus, you have purpose-filled responses and increase your chances of constructive outcomes. Frustration tolerance means you can wait when you normally overdo it. Frustration tolerance means you go for it when you normally sit out and miss out. Frustration tolerance means you evaluate the situation more thoughtfully when you normally make immediate judgments. People normally do dumb stuff when they're frustrated. They know it's dumb and they do it anyway. And the doing of the dumb stuff frustrates them more, which then obviously means they do more dumb stuff. Frustration tolerance breaks the cycle. Viktor Frankl says it eloquently. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space is your power to choose your response. And in that response lies your growth and your freedom. Frustration tolerance gives you more space. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you. And see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out.